Redemption Ridge believes in redemption and in pointing people to the Redeemer. So do we. And that's why we value life from beginning to end. Sarah, let me have you come up, and I'm going to say a quick prayer for her, and then she's going to share with us. Lord, thank you for Sarah joining us today. Thank you for her heart for those who are in need of help, who have not been treated according to the image of God in their lives. But thank you that you are a God who restores, who steps in and makes things new. I thank you for her hard work. I thank you for the struggles and the stories that she listens to because of what you've called her to do. I pray as she speaks this day that you would speak through her and you would give us a heart for the least, the last, and the lost among us. Thank you, Lord. You are our Redeemer. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. It's really good to be here, and thank you for the invitation to speak. I work with Redemption Ridge, which is the umbrella organization, and I'm the program director for the residential home called Grace House. And we are a facility that houses those girls that have been exploited through sex trafficking, or they've been groomed, or they're at risk to be groomed for sex trafficking. And so it's amazing what God is doing in the lives of these girls as they come to us very broken, but just the power of his love has been really a testimony for me to know the power that God has to change lives. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Sorry. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I was asked to speak today on the sanctity of human life. The dictionary defines sanctity as the state or quality of being holy, sacred, or saintly, of ultimate importance and inviolability. The sanctity of human life is not to be violated. As we look in Scripture, it is clear that life proceeds from God, that it's precious to God, it's protected by God. And we see that when we think of children's lives, Jesus says that children are planned by God. Children are precious and to be treasured. We live in a day and age when sanctity is a foreign concept to the world around us. We recently experienced the trauma of mass school shootings and shake our heads and wonder out loud how this could have happened. And yet, our society clearly shouts the message that there is no value to life. From physician-assisted suicide, extreme violence in video games, rage and hatred spewed out in music, to the legalization of abortion with little to no restrictions. Yet, we know intuitively that that's not God's heart for us, that Jesus values life, the life of a child. In Psalm 127, 3, the psalmist writes, "Children are God's love gift. They are heaven's generous reward." And again, the psalmist says in 128, that children are a joy around your table. We saw it in the parting of the Red Sea when he rescued his people from the bondage of slavery, as he heard the cries of his people begging for freedom. We saw it throughout Jesus' life. He would welcome the children to himself, despite the grumbling of the disciples. In fact, he turned and sharply criticized. He rebuked them for their behavior. In Matthew 18, 1 through 7, if you have your Bibles you want to take, we also are going to have it on the screen. Jesus called the little ones to his side and said to them, "Learn this well. Unless you dramatically change your way of thinking and become teachable and learn about heaven's kingdom realm with the wide-eyed wonder of a child, you will never be able to enter in. Whoever continually humbles himself to become like this gentle child is the greatest one in heaven's kingdom realm. And if you tenderly care for this little one on my behalf, you are tenderly caring for me. But if anyone abuses," and the Greek word for that is scandalizo, to scandalize or to put a stumbling block before them, to offend them or to cause them to sin, If anyone abuses one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him to have a heavy boulder tied around his neck and be hurled into the deepest sea than to face the punishment that he deserves. Misery will come to the one who lures people away into sin. Troubles and obstacles to your faith are inevitable, but great devastation will come to the one guilty of causing others to leave the path of righteousness. Jesus went so far as to say that in the same way that you treat children, that's how you're treating me. Children have the right idea. They're a model and a reminder to us of how we should be in our relationship with Christ. It was their ability to be trusting, lowly, loving, and forgiving. It was their ability to display kingdom principles, a humble and teachable heart. It was these very things that God wanted protected in children. These very characteristics that were innately in them, that were the same characteristics that are in Christ. God did not want this messed with, because he knew if this was violated, it would change their perspective of him. It would cause them to no longer trust him. It is the mishandling of their lives, the abuse that they are exposed to and experience, that caused them to lose their ability to trust, to be loving, and to be forgiving. When children are violated, they create their own authority. When children are wounded, they put a coat of self-protection around themselves. Their hearts that are created to love and trust others as God begins to hide. Their once innocent heart that was open to God begins to slowly fade away under fear and disappointment. It's for this very reason that Jesus tells his disciples, "It's better if you were never born than to hurt one of these children." One of the most devastating abuses that we see inflicted upon children today is through human trafficking. Once thought to occur on the other side of the world in Cambodia or in Thailand, it's rapidly growing right here in the United States, right here in the state of Oregon, and right here in our own backyard. A trafficker, a pimp, or a John, as they are often referred to, who's often older, will move in and sweep in on an innocent child and sweep them off their feet with gifts, kind words, pledges to be loved, and promises of a bright and exciting future, travel, and extravagance. As they groom them, they're earning their devotion, their love, trust, and loyalty. They prey upon the naive and vulnerable girls and boys that most have already been abused at a young, tender age, and because they have already been violated early on, they're an easy target. It is a devastation to the human soul. It robs children of their dignity and convinces a person that their life is of no value, causing them to lose hope. It's the enemy's game. It's the worst perversion and greatest violation known to man. In 2016, an estimated 1 out of every 6 endangered runaways reported to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children were likely child sex trafficking victims. Of those, 86% were in the care of social services or foster care when they ran. While there is no official estimate of the total number of trafficking victims locally, we know that there is a significant flow along the I-5 corridor, which is known to traffickers as the Kitty Track. The National Human Trafficking Hotline and Polaris Be Free text line comprise the largest available data on human trafficking in the U.S. While the data does not reflect the full scope, it is clear how widespread and prevalent the problem remains right here in our own backyard and neighborhoods. In 2016, the hotline reported 7,575 trafficking cases, with 5,551, or 73%, sex trafficking cases. These same hotlines show that 49% of those trafficked were ages 12 to 17 when the trafficking began. There are currently less than 400 treatment beds that exist in the United States. And in Oregon, there are only 19 beds that exist for trafficked minor children, none of which existed south of Portland until Grace House opened. Most child survivors of trafficking have been violated over 1,000 times before exiting the life. Their life expectancy is 7 years due to the beatings, the excessive drug use, STDs, and a broken heart. As human trafficking is exposed to the light, the stories at times are incomprehensible. Once thought to be prostitution, something the girls chose to do, what is coming to light is that it is a common day slave trading. Exclusive to Vegas Corner Girls, it's now in truck stops, sporting events, with the Super Bowl being the greatest volume of trafficking, fracking in the Dakotas, and with the ease of the internet that we've heard about the sting right here in Medford, it's a billion-dollar industry. Grace House is the only program in the state that provides a level of specialized residential trauma-informed care for minor female survivors of sex trafficking. No similar program exists within 275 miles to the north and 325 miles to the south of our location. We are truly a beacon of light in the darkness. We are the only residential treatment program in the entire state that is licensed through Oregon's Department of Human Services, Behavioral Rehabilitation Services, under what's called CSEC, which is Commercially Sexually Exploited Children that serve ages 11 to 17 from anywhere throughout Oregon and other states. When our residents arrive, some have already been through the system for many years, lived on the streets, and have done unspeakable acts just to survive. To society, they're a problem. To us, they're a gift, an opportunity for us to give back to them, to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and to be vessels that bring restoration and redemption to their lives. To give back to them what has been taken from them, their innocence, and to restore what has been violated, their trust. Set up for failure, they bear the brunt of others' sins. But just as Jesus left the 99 to go and find the one found in the story in Luke's gospel, Jesus has left the 99 to come and get the one and bring him to Grace House. What the enemy has meant for evil, God has meant for good. With the theme of redemption in mind, Grace House opened. We opened just this past June in 2017. We're a 7-bed facility with a family atmosphere. We're faith-based, and though we don't or won't force them to attend church or even to love Jesus, we're so confident in God's pursuit of them and his ability to love them himself that we are not deterred by the refusals. One of the residents that came in declared she was a Satanist, and within a month had given her heart to Jesus and continues to pursue him. Our first resident arrived with hair in front of her face, peeking out, wondering, would this place be like all the other places? Would she be a problem like she had been at her 11 other foster homes that kicked her out? Today, she is a bright-eyed beauty with her hair pulled back and a contagious laugh that rings through the house. What has been the difference? It's been the power of love. God's love that has broken through her created authority, and she has begun to shed her coat of self-protection and is experiencing life in a new way. She's learning to trust. Another resident, when she first came, would hoard food. Coming from the streets, she never knew when her next meal would come from. Every afternoon for lunch and every night for dinner, we as a house sit down together at the table and share a meal together. As soon as the prayer was said, she would quickly put heaps of food on her plate and leave some food on her plate so that she could put the leftovers in the refrigerator. She would go back and forth to the fridge and open it up and check to make sure that her food was still there. This went on day after day, and we just let her process this. One day, she was putting heaps of food on her plate. She stopped and looked at me, and she said, "I don't have to do this anymore." And I just smiled at her, and she put some of the food back on her plate, and she settled in with a deep sigh to eat. What was being restored in her was trust. Another resident expressed that this was the first place that she wasn't treated as the problem. She had been learning in therapy that what was done to her as a child was not her fault. No one had told her that before. As her heart began to thaw, she realized that God had placed her here and that his love for her was helping her work through the trauma and abuse that had been inflicted on her. As the shame began to be exposed, and with God's love covering her, she is growing in her confidence. She's soon to graduate early and has registered for college, something she thought she would never be able to achieve. Another resident wondered with tears in her eyes, "Why didn't I come here first? My life would be very different. I would have made different decisions." Another resident is working through broken relationships in her family. She is, for the first time in many years, actually experiencing being homesick. And after a recent visit, her mother and father have thanked us over and over again for giving their daughter back to them. She calls home often and is even reconnecting with her sister. Our new resident says she is overwhelmed with the love that she feels here. Sanctity of life, giving people value. We are taking God at his word. We are treating the girls as God describes them. His love gifts, heaven's generous reward, a joy around the table. I just want to thank your church for the graciousness that you have been to Grace House. I remember when we first opened and right before we received our girls, you had a shower at the house and you brought so many great gifts that we're still using today. And so many of you are wondering, what can you do for Grace House? What can you do for Redemption Ridge and this ongoing epidemic problem that, thank goodness, is being brought out into the light? And education is, I know Redemption Ridge goes to Providence Hospital in the ER room, and there's a team that's training nurses and doctors how to identify the symptoms of perhaps they're being trafficked. So some of the things that you can do, number one is to pray for us. And I think we're going to break into groups a little bit later and pray for Grace House. So we'll have a list up there of what you can do to pray for Grace House and Redemption Ridge. Thank you.